Hi, family. My name is Alice, and I'm a grateful member of Alcoholics Anonymous. My sobriety date is May 21st, 1987. My sponsor is Nancy C. out of Downing, California. My current home group is Never Too Early, a big book workshop that's all fellowship that meets every Sunday at 12:30 Eastern time. And I'm happy to share the log on with anybody that wants it. I want to begin with some thanks. This is sort of my practice. I want to thank Sherry L for inviting me. I want to thank Regina for being here and keeping us all safe. Thank you, Regina. And I want to thank you, Sina, for being our leader and making sure that I knew what the assignment was. And Jill, thank you for volunteering to read and for everybody that's shown up. Like, thank you for showing up for your own recovery. Thank you for showing up as a sign of love and support for me. So I want to get into it because people that know me know I don't like to speak. Regina embarrassingly pointed out it's the doubleheader for me today. I'm speaking later on today. But I'm excited to talk about step three because of where I am in my recovery right now. And I'm excited to put skin on it. I tend to be like a little bit preachy and a little bit teachy. Sorry about that. But I think that I'm so grateful to be free, that I want to just make sure that I'm shining the light for people who are not free so that they can get free. But I want to do sort of a combination today and maybe talk more about where I am. So let's get the teachy part out, right? So step one is the problem. And what is my problem? It's the only problem in the 12 steps. What is my problem? I have a threefold problem. I'm bodily different than my fellows. I drink, I get thirsty. I mean, anybody in this Hollywood Squares knows what that is. I think I want the first drink, but I absolutely want the second drink. I've got to have the third drink. I'm going to fight you for the fifth drink. Like, it's just what it is, right? Because I'm bodily different than the other people. The other day my friend spoke and he said, "I'm not different than other people. I'm different than other drinkers." That's right. The other people can put a drink down and I bodily can't. Second part of my first step is that I have a voice in my head and it sounds like me, and she's a liar. She says all kind of things to me that are not true. Read the chapter more about alcoholism. You know what I'm talking about. But the third part of my first step problem is the whole deal, which is what's related to step three. And the third part of my first step problem is the delusion. Now, this is my understanding. It's the delusion that I am not connected to the source of all things, that I'm out here in the world alone, that I got to figure it out. And that's going to lead me to use things outside myself for ease and comfort. So I want to do my step three talk. Step two is like, I'm not God. The question is, do I now believe or am I even willing to believe? Right? Yeah, or no. And it's this willingness is the cornerstone. It's the one thing that I set in place around which I build everything else. But let me get to three because three is why I was invited. Recently, a group that I do service for that I love, Toronto Fellowship of the Spirit, my friend John is here from that meeting. We had our fourth anniversary, and I've joined that service team. And we had Ralph W., who I adore. The question is, if you could listen to one person speak, who would it be? Ralph's the person I would listen to, right? And then Peter M., I love Peter. And here's what Peter M. said, which is the structure of my talk today. Peter said, "I'm not seeking freedom for me. I'm seeking freedom from me." What? That's it, man. And even if you're new, I want to invite you to wrap your mind around that. In the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the third step takes up about 3 1/3 pages, right? It begins right after the often read How It Works on page 60. And it says, being convinced. Convinced of what? Convinced of the three pertinent ideas that preceded it. What are the three pertinent ideas? This is step one or two. A, that I'm an alcoholic and I can't manage my own life, drunk or sober. Do you know how mad I was when I figured that out? I was like 10 or 15 years sober and I was like trying to manage my own life and I kept failing. Drunk or so what? When I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I've been sober 36 years. I'm coming up on an anniversary. I got here at 26. I'll do the math for you so you're not distracted. I'm 63. And I was like, why are these people still here? Like, what is wrong with them? You're here 10, 15, get it together. I mean, if you did a step a year, you could be gone. Like, what are you doing? Because I didn't understand what this is. This is not a stop drinking program. This is a spiritual path that teaches me how to have a conscious companionship with the creator of all things. And in that, I get to see myself and I get to see the way that my point of view is what I suffer from. I don't suffer from drinking. Look at page 19. Elimination of drinking is but a beginning. I suffer from my point of view. Oh, I'm going to talk about that. Some of y'all are here and have suffered from my suffering from my point of view. You know who you are, right? In this seeking freedom from myself, not freedom for myself. See, the thing is that if this was freedom for myself, it would still be all about me. And I don't even know how to make this make sense to the new people. The only way, and it's in the 11-step prayer, but like it's hard to hear. It's hard to hear. The only way for me to have what I want is to give it to you. But I don't want to. I don't even like you. I'm sorry. It's the truth. Because my point of view traps me. I'm selfish. I'm self-centered. I'm self-seeking. Here's my favorite. What's my favorite? Sharon, no. Self-righteous. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I told my friend Brenda that I was up on a high horse and she sent me a meme of like a little hobby horse. You know, the little horse the old people notice, like the little one you put a quarter in front of. Yeah, the new people is like, the young people are like, what? Yeah, that's what I'm on. But I think I'm on a high horse judging you. What is that? That's fear. That's fear. Ooh, that's hard. Ooh, that's okay. This bondage of self, what does that look like with skin on it? So well, let me go back. So it says, being convinced, I'm convinced of what? I'm convinced of three things, that I'm alcoholic and I can't manage my life. A, B, that probably no human power could have. You know what? I am a human power. So no weight loss, even at a size 8. No job. I had a big time job. No amount of money, no new car, no beautiful house. I had a beautiful house, nothing. Nothing. No human power. There's no person that's attractive enough, that loves me enough, that there's nothing outside of me that's going to solve this. The problem that I have is spiritual in nature. And so I have to go inside to the power that is inside, that connects to the power that is outside, that's in me, that's in you, that's in all of us. And I don't even like you. So how do I like me? I'm going to just let that lay there for a minute. See that God could and would if he were sought. My favorite word in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous is the word if, because if gives me power that I desperately want. If I do the work, I can have the things. If I don't do the work, I could suffer. The choice is mine. And the amount of suffering, I determine the amount of suffering by the amount of work that I do. Mark Houston is famous for having said, how free do you want to be? Another way to say that is, how much suffering would you like to get rid of? Right? Like, how much work am I willing to do? When I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, my first home group was this group in Oakland, California. I got sober there. I should say that I took my first drink at 4 years old, and I thought that I was a high bottom drunk when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. In the sky, when I was in the last home group that I had in New Jersey, was like, a high bottom, Alice, you started drinking at 4. Oh, well, that was a new perspective, right? At 8, I decided I should drink scotch. What are the other third graders doing? I don't know, but I'm drinking scotch. No, really. And then at 11, I'm drinking regularly. At 13, I'm in the bars. I mean, back in 1973, there was nobody card, nobody. Any young girl in the bar could get a drink. And I was getting drinks. And so when I got here at 26, I was whooped. I mean, think about that. By the time I got here at 26, when I started drinking at 4, I had already been drinking for 22 years. Yeah. I mean, getting it in. And so this assignment that I have today to talk about the third step, that first I have to see what I have to be convinced of in order to get to the third step. And I have to be convinced of these three pertinent ideas. See, they're pertinent drunk or sober. I'm an alcoholic and I can't manage my own life drunk or sober. That there's nothing that I can do with the human power that's going to change the fact that I'm an alcoholic and I can't manage my life. And that if I'm willing to do the work, I can get better. Now, I get better little by little. I'm better today than I was last year. And by the way, if I punch you in the throat last year, I'm a different person today. Sorry. I probably put you on the list and come back. I mean, you know, slow because, you know, I like suffering, apparently. So this thing that I'm getting free from. It's not, I'm not seeking freedom out in the world. Oh, I'm going to skip through the tulips. No, I'm getting free from myself, from my point of view. And you know what I think? I think I know. In the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the voice in my head is described. It starts the second part of my first step problem. I know I'm on step three. But it's the thing that keeps me trapped is the voice in my head. And it gives me these examples, right? I haven't had a drink in a long time. I could drink the carpet slipper dew. Well, that's a lie. Right? Jim, I can do some of the work. I got a bunch of sponsees like this. I can do some of the work and get all the benefits. You see, I just want to show up and do a couple meetings. I want to learn the book and quote the pages. I don't want to do the like, ooh, it's hard inside, gut-wrenching work. I won't do that. I want a cute outfit. I'm gonna show up at the meeting. I'm gonna get a new hairdo. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go to all the conferences in a cute outfit. That's what I'm gonna do, right? I'm gonna sponsor a couple people. You know what I mean? I'm gonna just do some of it. But what I want is all the benefits, and it just doesn't work like that. Talk about whooped, man. And I keep getting invited by my own discomfort, by the collision that I'm in with other people to do the work deeper and deeper and deeper. You know, I used to be mad when things didn't go my way, and now there are opportunities to grow. And so now that I'm convinced, right? Convinced the what? That if I do the work, if I seek, not the answers in my head, but the answers that I can find out there. Sometimes the newcomers say the thing I need to hear. Then what do I get to do? I get to be free from this bondage of self, right? So I've heard somebody say recently, and I have to co-sign this, that maybe some of the best writing that Bill did in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous is right here in three. I mean, the truth is that we call step one the problem, right? That's the problem. But three really talks about what the real problem is, and the real problem is me. It says that it's the root of my trouble is my selfishness. What is the root? The root is the thing from which all other things grow. This guy named Derek out of LA, Derek always be on a boat. Derek says, the bigger the tree, the deeper the root. Yeah. I was watching TikTok because you know I love TikTok. And TikTok talked about some fancy word I don't know about a tree and how the tree is as big as the top as it is under the ground. That the only way for it to get above the ground is to get right. That it goes down into the darkness against gravity. I mean, towards gravity. And then it is allowed to grow up towards the sun against gravity. And the thing is that when I act big time, when I have a lot to say, when I want to be, that's why I don't like speaking. That's why I don't like speaking. Because you know what? I've heard people get on here and bomb. I mean, it's just been, I've been pained for them. And then everybody after the meeting says, what a great talk. Oh, they was fabulous. That's why I can't nobody listen to what y'all say, because y'all is liars. How about that part? I'm sorry. I already told you I don't like nobody, but okay, sorry. So I think that when people talk about how fabulous you are as a speaker, that it plays to the illness. It plays to the illness. And my illness is I want to be centered. I want to be the center of everything, the belle of the ball. Now you got to come over to the wall where I'm being a wallflower to right? But I wanted the light to shine on me as I'm hiding in the corner. Who I am. And I need to get free from that, from thinking self is the answer. I'm so great. I'm so smart. I'm another bozo on the bus. My friend Jill sent me a cup that said that. Thank you, Jill. Another bozo on the bus, man. You know what this is not? Wellness Anonymous. I'm not well. I got a whole hate club in Alcoholics Anonymous. Call me, I'll give you their names. You can call them, right? Because I done cut people. I called somebody recently. This is what I'm talking about. I got, whoo, I'm halfway through my time. Now I could do the skin part. I'm put skin on. I called somebody and I was like, why people don't like me? You know. Now I'm a person that if you call me and you ask me, I'm gonna tell you. But here's what I gotta learn. If you don't ask me, I should keep my mouth shut. Because unsolicited advice is what? Criticism. Unsolicited advice is criticism. Somebody called me and said something, and it was about me, to me. And I can't imagine they meant it as a compliment. I mean, maybe, but I can't imagine that. And I was kind of lightweight offended. I mean, not really, but like, girl, what you talking about? And I told them what I thought was true. But you know what? They didn't ask me what I thought. They called me to tell me what they thought. And here's the freedom from the bondage of myself that I'm seeking. To keep my mouth shut. That's freedom from bondage itself. Yeah, that's what that is. So what the book says is this beautiful writing that Bill does is the top of page. Well, let me go back. So I'm convinced. And then it tells me that, you know, what am I? I'm trying to live like everybody else in the whole world, not just alcoholics, everybody, by self-propulsion. I wake up in the morning and before my feet can swing over and touch the floor, I promise you, I'm solving problems. My problems, your problems, the world problems. I'm gonna get the people in Gaza some food. I'm gonna do, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just solving problems. That's what I got a mind solving, but because it's the bondage yourself. Now, I wanna be clear about this. I am a citizen of the whole world. And as a citizen of the whole world, I no longer am willing to live in the privilege of ignoring the discomfort of the other souls. I'm no longer willing to do that. I am willing to be discomforted in order to be useful. That's just my decision. Make whatever decision works for you. But it is extraordinary level of privilege to be like, oh, well, that's for them, but you know, it's good over here. No. No. Because remember, I'm gonna go back to where I started. That I believe that the power inside of me is also inside of you. So if you suffer, I suffer. I can't be free truly until you are free too. So everybody's problem is my problem, but not in an Al-Anonic way, in a way that what can I do to bring light and life into the world? I mean, this is just my practice. So it talks about I'm trying to like live on self-propulsion, right? And I think if you just do what I want, that everybody'd be happy, me, you, and everybody else. Now, I didn't consult you on the plan I have for us. I'm just implementing the plan I have for us. As a matter of fact, I didn't even tell you what it is, but you're not doing it, and now I'm mad. That, right? My point of view is what I'm in the bondage of, and it's what is a misery generator in my life and in yours. Get close enough to me. I'm gonna make you miserable too. And then when you turn the page, right, it says that this is really the root of the trouble. And that I'm driven by 100 forms of fear. How the hell did I get to fear? Because this self-centeredness is driven by fear. You know, one of the things I'm known to say is it doesn't matter why I'm disturbed. It matters why I'm disturbable. And I want to make the distinction here in this third step talk. Being disturbed is something that you've done. You have said something to me. You've not done something. You cut me off in traffic. You were unkind. You didn't keep your commitment. You've done something. You've done something. But the truth is that other people have probably done that too on different days, and I wasn't disturbed by that. So that what I come to understand is it's not the things outside me that cause the discomfort inside me, it's what's going on inside of me. Because if I like you and you do it, it's okay. If I don't like you and you do it, I want to fight. And so it doesn't matter why I'm disturbed. The question is, why am I disturbable? What is happening inside of me? And this is what it tells me in three, that the thing is driving it, this collision that I have with the world around me, is an underlying fear. Now, we're not here yet. But when your four-step speaker speaks, they might talk to you about the third column in the resentment inventory, the seven parts of self that I need to understand. Because that's how I can find what I'm really afraid of. Because I promise you, if you're disturbed, underneath it is a fear. Now, 99, right? 95. It's mostly. There's sometimes this stuff happens, it's just not okay. It's just not okay. But almost always, it's because I have a fear. People are going to find out you don't like me. I'm not going to get what I want. I'm going to lose what I have. My reputation, you. Here's the thing, and I've said this many times. If you walk up to me and you tell me that I'm stupid, I'm not disturbed by that because I don't believe that that's true. I don't have a fear. If you walk up to me and you tell me that I'm fat, I'm going to be disturbed by that. I'm going to double down on my water intake. I might skip a snack. You know what I mean? I'm not going to skip two snacks, though. But you know what I mean? I'm going to be disturbed. I'm going to be disturbed. And so I've got to understand that this bondage of self is that I keep the irony. I keep thinking the problem is you, what you did, how you acted. But the freedom comes from understanding the problem is inside me. It's my reaction to the world around me, particularly when I want to control things, particularly when I want to get on the high hobby horse, particularly, right? All I need is a quarter for the horse to go back and forth, right? But particularly when I want to do that. What does the literature go on and the literature says? It says that I can't get rid of it by myself. You know, the three things, and there are probably more, you know, this is just where I am on the journey. The three things that I think I can't do without God, I can't stop drinking without God. You know, I got a person I'm working with now. She day one again, maybe day two, right? And she's now at a place that she's like, I give up everything just to not drink. My career, I give up everything. And I understand that. That when you drink against your will, I understand that. And the thing that's so profound about the irony of this is that when I can understand, right, that I can't stop drinking on my own, I can't stop being selfish on my own, and I can't stop being afraid on my own. Those are the three things I can't. I'm in bondage. That I've got to turn to the power and surrender those things to the power. Now, in my experience, maybe because I'm not a good person, I'm being punished, is that they're not always relieved immediately, right? I didn't have a Bill White light experience, right? Sometimes that discomfort, that selfishness, or that fear is to teach me something. Compassion for you, humility, I don't know. But it's this practice of turning to the power to be like, there it is again, God, please remove it. There it is again, God, how do you want me to be? There it is again, God, how do you want me to be helpful? How do you want me to be in this? You know what people often wonder? What is God's will for me? I'm gonna make it easy for you. You ready? God's will is what's happening right now. If you are trying to live in the sunlight of the Spirit, then what's happening right now is God's will. Now, if you're doing it your way, you're on the hobby horse, you know what I mean? You're running everything, then what's happening right now is your will. It's not complicated. I want to talk about in my last few minutes, the skin. I was talking to a sponsee and we're in five, and I said, so, she was talking about whatever. And I was like, people don't like me. She's like, oh, I can't imagine people don't like you. That's the beauty of a sponsee. Yay. And thank you. And I started thinking about why people don't like me. You know what I mean? Like, I have a picture of it, but the truth is, we can't see ourselves. So I called somebody I trust and I was like, well, why? And they tried to hem and haw like they didn't, you know what I'm talking about. And they was like, because you always want to check people. Now, in my culture, check means a very specific thing. I don't know about y'all, but check means something very specific in my culture, right? Like checkmate, check, like check. You know, like check, I don't, not check, check means, but like you always want to correct somebody. You always want to point out they wrong. You always, why you got to tell people you think they stupid? Shut up. I mean, they ain't say it like that, but they said it. And then I realize, right, because all the steps are connected, I want to say, maybe when we get here, they're linear. But when we've been here a while and this is our way of life, they become a web. I talked about how one and two is related to three, but six and seven is related. And for sure, 11 is related and seven is related, right? Let me see if I can fit all that in. When I can see the way that I live, that puts me in collision with other people. I can see the way that I move that is a manifestation of my defect, which is a manifestation of my fears. Ha! I'm gonna let that linger for you, right? When I can begin to see that, I can begin to make decisions about how I want to live differently in the world. Because my only job is to be the shiner of the light. My only job is to be of maximum service to God and the people around me. And it tells me on page 18, 19, don't nobody want no help from you if you always busting them in the face. Nobody wants that. And so how do I begin to reshape myself, not hide myself, not fold up, not be nobody different? Who I love me, even if you don't, I love me. How do I begin to mature and evolve myself so that I'm more and more valuable to God and the people around me? I'm 63. I don't want to do that. I want to lay on the couch and eat bonbons and watch Hulu and Netflix. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. Everybody that know me, come on, y'all. What's my favorite number of sponsees? Zero. Everybody know that because I'm selfish, because I'm in the bondage. I'm not lying. I'm in the bondage. But what begins to happen as I begin to see that I'm not as useful. Now, the people not liking me, I don't really care. I mean, that's the truth. Whatever. But I can see that it makes me not as useful. And it's not the people in the past that don't like me. It's how do I not make the people in the future not like me because I might want to be helpful to them. And what do I have to do to be more fit? That's my job, page 77, to make myself fit, which is where? In step nine. All of them is connected. Be here for a while. Be here for a while. And so in three, what I'm seeking is this freedom from my own prison. Why? So that I can stand in the sunlight of the spirit. Why? So that when I shine the light, you can see it. Why? Because that's useful to other people and it helps them come to the light. You know, maybe it's because I'm old now. But I mean, this seems like really dark times to me. I went to IKIPA in San Francisco last July. It was like a diasporic bad. It was, and I'm hearty. I'm from the cook. It was horrifying. The land of the living dead. New York's not much better. And so, in a dark time, what work can I do to be more of a light? I can't do nothing about all of it, but I could do something. All right, my time's almost up. Let's see what else I want to tell you. It says that if I stay close to the power, that the power provides what I need. I don't provide what I need. The power, top of 63, he provides what we need if we kept close and performed his works well. If I perform his work well, which I can't do checking people. Now, let me tell you what's sad about that. I sure do like checking people. I do. I just do. Because you know why? Let's talk about the fear. Because I think I'm not good enough. So then, if I'm better than you, then that means at least I'm something. And it's subtle. It's subtle. It's subtle. But there it is. So I'm no longer getting free from the obvious stuff. I've been here 36 years. I'm getting free from the more subtle things. And if you stick around, there's always more work to do. There's always more work to do. Now we're at step three, and many of us said to our maker, God, I offer myself to you to build with me and do with me as thou will. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. That my will, thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them would bear witness to others. It would help other people see there is a way up. There is a way out. There is freedom. There is joy. I want to help people to thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. And then I launch myself into a course of vigorous action because there's no amen at that prayer. That prayer opens a body of work that is a living, breathing, moving prayer. And it is an inventory of my resentments, of my fears, of my sex misconducts. I tell somebody so they help me see the pattern of pain that I created in my life. I see that the things that I'm doing, they ain't working, they objectionable. And then I close the prayer in seven. And what is seven about? Seven's not about me anymore. Seven is about you. So I open in three, asking for freedom for myself, and I close in seven, asking God to make me useful to you. Thank you for inviting me. I had a ball. I hope that was good for you.